It's all right. I'm happy to be in fine blood. You folks are half as happy to have us here as we are to be here. Y'all are happy people. Praise God. I've enjoyed this service tonight. I was thinking a while ago, I guess people that are used to church services like this, you just kind of take it for granted sometimes. You don't give a little more extension, you know. Go ahead and worship a little longer than you normally do. When you're used to good services like this, but when you don't get them all the time, see, next week or the next month, I may be in an old, stiff, dry church somewhere that don't believe fat meat's greasy, and I'd be in a mess. I'm going to get all I can get tonight, every night I'm here. Hallelujah. So don't put no damper on me. Amen. We just like to do all we can for the Lord, but I didn't come to church to stare at you folks. I came to worship God. Hallelujah. If I don't preach tonight, I know one thing. I can have just as much of His presence here if I'll just worship Him. Because His Word said He inhabiteth the praise of His people. Now, I've been in them meetings where the evangelist sat and stared at you all the time. And then when he hit the floor, he wanted everybody to holler and shout and jump and scream and turn over benches. But I'm going to come to worship the Lord. I'm not worshiping you. I'm worshiping God. Amen. But I guess if I sit here and stare at you all night, I'll just have a stares when I get up here. I'm glad I've worshiped the Lord. I feel good. Amen. I could go home right now and say, I'm in the church. Hallelujah. But I felt that good presence of the Lord here for me. Everybody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not scared of God. I'm saying tonight. Brother, if you can, I'm going to have to swap around here a little bit. Let her get one of these. Maybe my wife can get this one out. I kind of want to sing tonight. Jesus got a hold of my life and He won't let me go. Down home, there was a lady that never had really known anything about Pentecost. She was a Methodist. And Pentecost had just started I just kind of come into that country in the last week or two, and this had been about 50-something years ago. She'd never heard about it, except one day a man came by on a horse and was out in the yard telling her husband, said, ah, so they get out there and quack like ducks, and so they got powder in their handkerchief, and they shake it on the people, and they all fall out. And so they act crazy. So you can't understand what they're saying. And she thought, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't make fun of people in church like that. So a day or two later, a relative of hers, I don't really know exactly what we all called her, Aunt Ella, but I don't really know what relation they were. She came by and asked her to go to church with her. So where are you going? Said, hold a roll of meat. And so she went and asked Mr. Theodore if it'd be all right for her to go. And he said, no. Said, don't want you going on that old wild mare of Ella's. That thing to throw you ladies. I don't want you all going. But she finally begged him to let her go to the whole old meeting on that old wild mare. So these two ladies took off the meeting. Got there in the first night, first time ever in church. That time, Aunt Ella went to the altar. And her brother saw her go. And he went up and grabbed her and drug her outside and said, I don't even want to catch you down here anymore. Well, that throwed Sister Mary, because she was just Mary back then, I guess. That throwed her having to go home on the wild mare, and they rode the thing home. Next morning, she woke up, and she got to crying. She cried all day long. That night, she cried, and her husband couldn't talk to her. She couldn't talk to anybody. She thought she was losing her mind. So she thought, well, I've always been talking to a preacher about everything, so she went to see her preacher. She got on her own horse and went to see her preacher and got there. And the preacher got to talking to her. He said, Mary, you hadn't been going to the whole roll meeting. Yeah, I went one time. He said, that's what's wrong. She said, I didn't think there's anything wrong with going to church. He said, something wrong with going to that kind of church. He said, don't you go back no more. So she thought, well, that's what my preacher says. That's what I'll do. I'll never go back anymore. So she went back to the house, started in the front gate. And I heard her talking about this. She'd taped this just before she died. And I heard this tape. And one minute you're shouting, the next minute you're crying. Listen to this woman. And she said, just as she started through her gate, she heard the voice she'd never heard before that said, Mose Ezel, that was her pastor, Mose Ezel is neither God and he's not the Word of God. Something got a hold of her. Something new is happening, and something never touched her like this before. That evening, her brother-in-law came by and asked Theodore if he wanted to go to the Holy Roller meeting. So they went to the Holy Roller meeting. She got all the kids to bed just about dark. One laid down with her own little baby, Alton, laid down with him. And she lay down and she's still crying. She said, well, I'm going to pray. So she started praying. She prayed a long time. She said she didn't know what to do. She just felt like she needed something in her soul. And she started saying, Lord, I'm on the altar. Lord, I'm on the altar. Lord, I'm on. Oh, wouldn't it have been nice if she could live in this day and time when somebody could have told her, say Jesus real fast and you'll get the way you say it so fast you won't know what to say and you'll be talking in tongues. Well, I've heard them say it. I heard a boy one night, a preacher boy, he told a young fella, he said, come on, say it real fast. He said, after a while, you'll be saying it so fast, you won't know what to say. I said, you'll be talking in tongues. I thought, no, you won't either. You'll just be saying Jesus so fast, you know what to say.
All right.
Hallelujah. Now, we're going to sing in just a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And she kept saying, Lord, I'm on the altar. And all of a sudden, she said it seemed that she could no longer say it with a mouth, but it was back in her mind. Lord, I'm on the altar. Lord, I'm on the altar. And she said it was like a ball of fire that just came in that room and pressed her down on that bed. And all of a sudden she thought, I got to get out of this. Lord, I'm on the altar. And she pushed. And when she did, that thing kind of exploded and she lost control of herself and began to talk in something she never talked in before. She thought, oh no, this is bad. She tried to call Alton's name, just a little boy. She tried to call his name, and when she did, she just started that. She said jabbering. She didn't know what she was doing. Hallelujah. Well, in the night, she still, every time she tried to say something, she'd start talking in tongues. She heard Theodore and Henry coming by, and she thought, oh, mercy. He'll put me in the insane asylum now for sure. I've had it. He come in the house, and she couldn't even talk English. 50-something years later, she still had the testimony. When she couldn't get out of the seat to testify, she had talked in that old broken voice. She said, I thank God for no soul salvation. Thank God. I'm glad tonight for something that's real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want you to know something else. I'm glad fine blood believes that. Hallelujah.
Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Oh, Jesus got into my heart, got into my soul. I used to be a just man, now I'm just so free and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go.
I used to be living in sin. I tried to act happy and free, but I wasn't within. I fooled a lot of friends of mine. It's all. But I never had a thing till I opened up and let Jesus in.
Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Oh, Jesus got into my heart, got into my soul. I used to be a dumb man, but now I'm just so free and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go.
Now aren't you getting just a bit tired of fooling around? You try to laugh your way through your life, but you're not getting grown.
Why not try the Lord today? Just ask him in your heart and stay. You'll find that Jesus' love will do you the greatest thing that you've ever found. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Yeah.
Jesus got into my heart, got into my soul. I used to be your servant, but now I'm just so free and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go.
Praise God, praise God. Well, I'm glad the Lord got a hold of me. Even today. Hallelujah. Well, I started listening to Brother Bear today and decided I wouldn't. I said, if I listen to him and I preach any of that, they're going to think I got it from him. Somebody said last night they didn't know where Brother Hamby came up with all his crazy titles, and I said, he listened to me preach. But that's not really true. Of course, whoever I said that to knew it. I want to preach the word to you. Thank God. I think that'll have a good effect on you.
Sure.
I do appreciate your response to the word, too. I told Brother Rutledge last night, if I had anything to preach, it sure was a good spirit to preach here. I tell you, the Lord was blessing this place last night. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, I want you to turn to the third chapter of Exodus tonight. And we'll read it. Begin the first verse. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. I don't know what that means. He came to the mountain of God. I know where Horeb was. It was the same mountain that he called the mountain of God. But I don't know why he designated it as the mountain of God. We're strange creatures, us Pentecostals. We like to talk about the mountains. Sometimes they're in our way, and other times that's where we're at. You know how we are. One minute we say, oh, I got a big old mountain in my way, and the next minute we say, I'm on a mountaintop. And I don't know really how to set everything in order like we all believe it. But I don't know whether there's any mountains in our experience or not, because the scripture said, John said, I am the one that came prepared to the voice, the one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every high thing be brought low, every low thing be brought up, all the curves will be straightened out. And so I don't know whether there's any mountains or valleys in it or not. But sometimes we're higher than we are other times. And I imagine if you look back on that, you'll notice that it took you a little more effort to get to where you are when you're high than it did to get where you were when you were low.
Right. That's right.
And in fact, when you're low, it's probably when you've been doing absolutely N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Amen?
Right.
Right. Praise God.
Right.
And then we won't go, I don't know what, yeah, we know what's wrong. Hallelujah. We know what's wrong. And then when we really put forth the effort, I don't know why you don't go to the prayer room all the time. That's right. I don't know why you don't find time every day to read some in your Bible. But when you're really in it with all you've got, you're a whole lot closer to God than you are when you just dilly-dally around. You know that. I'm not going to try to criticize you tonight, but I want you to know that there's a place where we can get where God just absolutely shines on us, and we have a good... Now, I have bad time too, but I generally know why I got there. Amen. But if you come and ask me, brother, what's wrong? I say, oh, I don't know, man. I don't want you to know. I don't want to talk about what I've been carnal, you know. Man, I won't act like everything's on, you know, above board, but I generally know what's wrong when I'm my lowest. Praise God. But I don't like to brag too much when I get my high.
But sometimes you just can't hardly have it. Sometimes when you're very up for the presence of God, you want to get on that telephone and call somebody and say, "Hey, man, last night we had 3 people get the Holy Ghost in our service." Praise the Lord. Brother Greer came by Monday, and we had such a great service over at Benton Sunday night, and I wanted to talk about it, and I couldn't talk about it for him. He thought just because during service Sunday night, 2 young teenagers got up and come down the aisles of the altar, and he thought, well, I better not let them just break up the service, but I want them to get the Holy Ghost. And so he told a couple of the young men to go back to another room and play with them. And after a while, they got the Holy Ghost. Both of them prayed through the Holy Ghost. And he thought just because 2 people got the Holy Ghost, he ought to just monopolize the conversation. But I seen old Brother Greer when he didn't go right. Yeah, he didn't laugh. He didn't hardly enjoy talking to anybody. He just come in. Don't want to eat, don't want to talk, just like an old hog. You know, there's nothing going right. But I know how it is to be on the mountain. Hallelujah. Praise God. The reason I know it is because I've been there before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what? There are some folks that have never, absolutely never felt any spiritual ecstasy since the night they stopped talking to God for the first time. They never got any higher since that day. In fact, these look like they got lower. But I want you to know there's a place where you can get from the church of time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a place where you can get from the victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to finish reading here. Verse 2 here. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Great things happen when you're close to God.
Hallelujah.
After having studied a little bit about my text tonight, I found out that from where Moses lived and where he led the sheep at this particular time from Mount Horeb was 1 day's journey too far for a shepherd to normally lead his flock. What drove him beyond that 1 day's journey on to the 2nd day's journey? Was there something in his soul that said, say, just around the corner, there's something better? Just over the next little hill, there's something glorious? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the early part of 71, I went to Fayetteville to preach with Brother Ray Hassel. My life began to change. End time revival in the program was just being instituted. Somehow that was one of the greatest programs I've ever seen. It changed a lot of men. It did something to us. It gave us some priorities. For the first time in our lives, we felt like we had a new sense of direction. And I preached and night after night, we saw things happen. Every day, I'd get out and ride the car with Brother Hassel, go to people's homes. He just was a changed man, and it changed me to watch him and to be with him. When I left there, my soul was still hungry and craving something. I stopped in Oak Little Rock for a couple of services, and I talked to Brother Glass, and I said, "Brother Glass, somehow there's something in me that just cries for victory. I've got to have victory in my soul." And he said, "Brother, you're one of thousands that are hungry for something." I said, "But wait, it seems so close. It seems like just to reach beyond just a little curtain right there, and I could get it, but I could never seem to find just where it's at." Not very long after that, the Lord began to move me and channel me into a direction that I had no earthly idea when I first looked at it on the surface that this was what I was looking for. But I want you to know, in April of 71, God ushered me into the greatest revival of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right after night, I saw people rise in the congregation and lift their hands and begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them. Hallelujah. Night after night, I saw them start down the aisle to the altar. And before they could ever get to the front, they'd buckle up and hit the floor and begin to talk in tongues as the Spirit gave you. I saw some of the most miraculous healings in a matter of weeks that I'd ever seen in my life. And I realized this is what I wanted to see. But God wasn't through. There was another mountain to climb. And I was so glad to say, "Lord, if you've got something better for me, let me walk another day's journey." Hallelujah. I believe, church, that in order for us to have what we need from God, we've got to be willing to go beyond the normal. That's preached everywhere. Everybody's got on that. And we're all talking about it. Go beyond the norm. Get out of the norm here. Don't be mediocre. I want you to know, I see it working. I believe that right now it's time some of us make fools out of ourselves to see God work in the flesh. God, I love to talk about Moses and his experience. I like to talk about all the men of the Scriptures, but I want you to know God didn't quit working when Moses died. He didn't quit working when Joshua died. He didn't quit working when Peter was crucified upside down. He didn't quit working when John finally died. But God's still working today. And in fact, He said, I'm going to work in that last day. Hallelujah. And you say, I haven't seen God do anything. I want you to know, open up your eyes. Everywhere out there, there's the work of God and the Lord performing today what He's always done.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise the Lord. Well, you excuse me for taking my coat off. You better be glad I ain't got on my blue jeans. Praise God. I shouted just as much in blue jeans and cowboy boots when I first got hold of it as I have in these here. Wherever that is. Rob Lee, huh? Yeah. Glory.
Glory.
You know, here's Moses and brother Rutledge. It's hard to imagine a man 8 years old still eating corn on flour. That's not very industrious. He hadn't had a whole lot of what you thought to say. Still working for his father-in-law. Yes, sir. He's only 80, though. I guess back in the days, they didn't get in no hurry. And there he was, keeping his father-in-law's flock. I don't even know if he had one of his own. And he went out that morning. You know, it must get bad. Me and my father-in-law got in the dump together. And I can tell you, brother, you don't always see eye to eye with these poor dogs. Can you all get that out of there? Well, if he hadn't been full of the Holy Ghost, we might have had a falling out. But you get tired every morning looking after the same old poor dog. Said, now, Moses, I want you to take that bunch of sheep yonder out the other way today.
Yes, sir.
And when you get back, Zipporah will have supper on the table. But you don't let none of the sheep get away now. Old Moses did that every day in, day out. And today, I don't know where you decide to leave home or what. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. It was Brother Watkins when they burned his church down in Cleveland. And he came back from the West Coast. He told the folks out there, he said, they bombed my church and burned it in Cleveland and I got to go home. Black man. They burned his church down. He came home and his elders were all standing there in the tarred ruins of his old church. And they all said, brethren, let's go pray. And Brother Watkins said, y'all go pray. I'm going to get my gun. He said, I never realized all that was inside of me. And the only thing that wasn't burned down, and this is probably God's providence, was his old study over there.
Hallelujah.
He said when he realized that bitterness and hatred was all in him, he thought, my God, I've got to get in that study some way. He said he went in and just closed the door and thought, I'll never come out until all that business has changed in my heart. Hallelujah. Way over the morning, he wrote that beautiful song, I have a long way to go to be like the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I've heard them talk about Hayward and Holland, but every man who's ever done anything for God had to go beyond the ordinary. Hallelujah. There comes a time, young folks, when you've got to forget what's going on at the church tonight. If you want God to move, you've got to say, Lord, move in me tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I'm as bad as you are. Maybe I'm worse. Sometimes we'll be praying for somebody in the altar Brother Ledman said last night, and it was so wonderful when he said, we could not possibly find room in this place to leave the order as long as souls are in the balances. And I've seen folks in the order, and I'd be thinking about a big man. And I have to pray through all over that all that stuff. I've got to pray through it. Over and get out there somewhere and say, God, I don't care if it's going to never get nothing. I want souls to pray through tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I've seen it everywhere I've ever been. I've seen the men who really are talked about and who are praised, saints and preachers alike, are men who go beyond the ordinary. They deprive themselves of certain things that sometimes we're not willing to deprive ourselves of. They do it so they can get on the mountain, because on the mountain the air is fresher with God. The spirit is a whole lot richer there, and the sun is a lot brighter. Praise God. And the burdens are even a whole lot lighter when you get up there where God is. And that's why tonight somehow I want you and me to walk a little bit farther in this service tonight to get something from God. Hallelujah. I believe sometimes you've got to step out on the Word of God and just make a fool out of yourself in order to see God's promises fulfilled. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Moses came to that place. All his natural instincts told him to go back. He was gone too far from the home. But something deeper said, go on a little bit farther.
Hallelujah.
I got a little old flyer from the mail in 73, 72, I guess it was, maybe December. Jackson Bible Conference. I thought, you know, I never have been anywhere but camp meeting. I think I'll go to something like that. I mean, I've been to general conference, but that's just a place to go lobby, really. See, watch all the preachers walk out of whoever's preaching that night. You know, if our preachers are preaching, we stay with him. If he ain't, we all walk out and go down to Sandbone somewhere. I get so tired of seeing that. But anyway, I thought, I'm going to go to Jackson Bible Conference. Here I am, you know, done built this big, beautiful, great church. Just a young fellow, 23, 24. I don't know how old I was. I wasn't very old. Lord blessed me. I thought, man, I'm in high cotton now. But I'm going to Jackson Bible Conference. Got all them shirts starched up, real nice. Got to have them cuts looking like Brother Phillips, you know. There ain't another preacher in the world talk like I do in the pulpit, I don't guess. But I don't care. We're so full of emulation. We try to be like somebody else so much sometimes. If somebody is walking around preaching with a finger in their ear, we'd have ours nerves. Trying to put just like somebody. Gotta be just like. And I thought, boy, I'm going out there with a big rig now, the jet set. You know how they crash. Praise God. I want you to know, we all got loaded up in them Lincolns and Imperials, and I don't know what all they did and come out of Georgia with. And here we all driving along and talking and laughing. And I wish you could have seen the bunch of preachers that came out of Georgia and that same bus that went back. I wish you could have seen them. I wish you could have seen them. I walked into that meeting. We got our motel the first night we got there. Walked into that meeting the next morning. And Sister Mangan, of all people, a woman, walked in that pulpit, and for about 2 hours, she just told me how dirty and low down I was. And I thought, it ain't fair. Talk about us preachers like that. When she got through, they said, any of you preachers want to pray? Man, I want you. Did we ever want to pray? I fell down that seat and I said, God, help me to forget that I've ever preached a sermon. I want to pray through right here. Brother, I mean, I got down to business with God. There were men around me. I couldn't picture them in my old carnal mind as even praying and have a burden for their church. And I heard them falling like babies. Or Brother Charles, this big old fat boy down there, just falling like a baby. And I thought, God, we love you, but we're so stinking stiff-necked and cold. Let us get out of that rut and get where you want us to be. And I want you to know, it didn't hurt me a bit to tell God I needed to forget I was ever a preacher. About the next service, the two Brother Phillips came up, and he come up and groaned, and he said, oh, said yesterday. I said, God, let me forget I was ever a preacher, and I thought if a man could preach like he could preach and say that, what was wrong with me saying it? I said it, but nobody around to hear me say it. It was just me and God. Brother, I want you to know I went back to that motel and walked into that room. I stayed there about 3 days. I slept 6 hours. I couldn't sleep. I walked the floor. I cried. I fought. I laid my Bible. I apologized to God. I thought. Never did get through with that stake. I got back in that car. We started for Georgia. I want you to know, I told Sabina I loved him. I had never told I loved before. I said, I love you, and I appreciate you. My heart was so clean. When I got back home to my church, I could hardly preach for crying. Praise God. But I want you to know, it takes going just a little bit farther. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't help it. Sometimes we get to that certain little deal. We go through our little ditty. We get to that certain point, and that's it. And God, if you want to work beyond that point, you've got to help somebody else. But tonight, for prime blood's sake, I feel in my heart to say, come on, church, let's go just a little bit farther. Well, the Lord talked to Moses on that mountain. And from that time, he's never the same. Went down to Egypt, led the children out of Egypt bondage. 17th chapter. He's right back at Mount Horeb. And I want you to watch what happens in that mountain. He said, Lord, we don't have any water. And the Lord said, smite that rock. Right in that same mountain where he got his first visitation. He said, smite that rock. In order for a man to obey what God's word says and smite a rock in the presence of all those people, he's got to go just a little bit farther. Because common sense checks you. And says, if you're going to smite it, don't let anybody know it's intentional. Just act like you didn't really mean to strike that, and that water just happened to come out. And if it comes out, say the Lord told you. Mm-hmm. But don't walk out there and say, God told me to smite the rock and smite it. That's what common sense tells you. But God says, smite that rock. Praise God.
Man came to me in church one night. He told a white-haired boy, been to church a long for you. He said, Brother Walton, my daughter-in-law fell with pie, a mixture of pie, fell, and that stuff splashed on and burned her legs to the bone. Just a little hole in her legs. A chemical burn. Said she's in the hospital now in bad shape. I don't know whether I'm crazy or whether it's that revival I'm talking about God got me into. But the next day, I stuck that little New Testament, that little small Bible, I stuck it in my coat pocket. And to the hospital I went, and I got there first. Hospital call up basis, they said, they're one of the big hospitals. And they said, have you ever been in here before? Well, would you sign an Alex Stanley card like I've been in here? And finally, they gave me a little black tag. And I love that thing so much. I had my name on Brother Warbanks. I love that thing because it hung out there on a big chart with about 100 other names. It was up there with the bishop and the rabbi and the priest and all of them, right? Brother Warbanks. I'd walk in there and have to look at all of them. I knew where it was anyway. Get it put it on my coat, see? Well, that day, I got my little tag after that lady finally got through processing me. And I put that tag on and I spread it around the hospital a little bit. Of course, I'd read my real few book about running them stairs. So I didn't go up the elevator. I said, no, I'm on the stairs. Keep my weight down. Preachers don't get enough exercise anyway, Brother Pugh said. So I thought, well, I'll do that. So here I go running them stairs. Got up there and knocked on that door and walked in. I thought I was going to walk into a room where a woman knew what God could do. And I walked in. And brother, I want you to know when I got to talking to her, I found a pitiful woman. She had a suicide complex. She hated life. And she's kind of glad she's in the shape she's in. I thought, you know, she's probably seen some kind of miracle before. I won't have too much trouble. I said, have you ever seen a miracle? She said, no. I said, do you believe him? She said, no.
I said, wait, boy, I learned the reason for that word. Thank God, that'll work anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I thought, well, praise God, I'm going to read you what the Bible said. And I opened it up, and I started reading. And Peter and John went down to the temple. I just kept on reading. The more I read, the weaker I got down by my bedside. My soul got I got thinking, Lord, that's in your mouth. Hallelujah. It's in your word, and we can stand on the word. And in a minute, I looked at him. I said, lady, do you believe that God's word is true? He said, if you say it, preacher, I believe I said it's true. And God's going to heal you. If we can believe him today and believe his word, I said, God's going to heal you. He's able to do it. I said, he's going to do that. And I laid my hands on her. I said, let's pray together. And she didn't know how to pray, but she helped me out. She didn't pray in Jesus' name. I laid my hands on her. Next morning, I come back up and I've done found me another sister. Oh, I went right through it, not feeling good. I said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And brother, I want you to all preach for a sermon. And I walked out. A day or so later, I went back in there and she said, preacher, you see those scissors? I said, yes. She said, they've been laying there for 24 hours and I've never even thought about getting them. I said, for what? She said, you couldn't leave anything like that around me. I'd get depressed and I'd try to commit suicide. She said, I don't want to die. I want to live. I thought, brother, that's great. Let me read you some more out of this book. Hallelujah. And I started reading her some more. Day or two later, I was down. She said, I'm going to tell you what my doctor said. Said, he's not going to have to graft skin. I said, come on. She said, that's right. She said, would you believe him? He says it's a miracle that stuff is healing from the bone out. Hallelujah. I said, you know what we have to do? We've got to be willing to step out on that wall. Hallelujah. That's not what the organization said. That's not what the first book says. This is what God said. And I want you to know, His word is forever, down in heaven. But you just got to practice and be a little spiritual maniac to walk out on that book and say, this will work. Hallelujah. But it will work. Thank God. But you got to be willing to go farther than the world church wants to go. And farther than us stiff-necked Pentecostals want to go sometimes. Go just a little bit farther, but we can go and get what we need. Praise God. Why don't you put your hands up, young folks? Why don't you put your hands up, church and love God? Hallelujah. Over 80 years old. You can see or hear that water gushing out of that rock. Still feel the stroke of that staff as he swung. Hear that water. And he looks up. You know what he sees? Another mountain. There it is, Sinai. I don't know how long I've been preaching. Ring a bell after a while. He saw Sinai. He had no idea what was going to happen over there. The Lord poured him that thing off of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. He said, Moses, don't you let so much of the beast get close.
That's right.
He said, anything touched is going to be let close. Oh. Don't you let nothing get close to it.
That's right.
He said, this mountain is another mountain of God. Oh. He called Moses up in that mountain. He said, when you hear that trumpet sound loud and long, you come up here. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, Moses heard that trumpet sound loud and loud. He said, Moses, I got to go. Hallelujah. Where are you going, Moses? I'm going to that mountain right there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He walked up in that mountain, and the Bible said it burned with fire.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
Covered with a cloud.
Oh.
Bolts of words. Mm-hmm. Shaped and round. He said, Moses, come up here. Uh-huh. And he walked up there and stood outside that cloud. And the Lord gave him enough stuff to broke anybody's back. He said, now go down and tell them folks what I said. And Moses went back down and told them what the Lord said.
Hallelujah.
One day the Lord said, now next time you come up, I want you to bring Joshua with you. Joshua and Moses started going up that mountain. Got up there and sat down outside that big cloud. Just sat there.
sun went down, and they're still sitting there when it rose the next morning. Except that 6 days. Because Moses heard the Lord say, when you hear that trumpet sounding loud and loud, you come inside the cloud. You know why some folks ain't never going to get inside the cloud? Because they ain't never going to climb the mountain. Very fast, him and Joshua. And all of a sudden, it happened. I've gone over this, how many times in my own mind, I've preached about this before. And every time I get to it, I think, Lord, how he must have felt when he finally heard that trumpet sound. And he had to walk inside that cloud. He did not know what was inside that cloud. And when he heard that trumpet sound, he started walking. I could see him as he started walking. That's just like that. And all of a sudden, he's inside that cloud, just right inside. And when he did, he found God. There he was. And I wonder how Joshua, have you ever thought about Joshua? 40 days he sat outside that cloud. 40 days he sat there and watched that cloud and watched that hole where Moses went through. And he watched it for him.
Oh,
40 days those folks down in the valley looked up there and watched that cloud on that mountain and saw that Joshua was sitting there like a wild man by it. One day the Lord said, you go down, Moses. And Moses turned around, and here he comes, back to that cloud. Hallelujah. And when he did, his face was astounding. He had been in the presence of God. And I think, I want to get inside that cloud, but that cloud is on the mountain. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says that you are not touched to that mountain might not be touched. That burned with fire, where the voice of words were heard. You've not come to that mountain where the law was given, but you've come to Mount Zion. Hallelujah. You've come to that heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn, to the general assembly. Hallelujah. You've come to the spirit of God being made perfect. God, the judge of all, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. You've come to Mount Zion. Hallelujah. You've come to the church. And that church is on a mountain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I'm going to finish up on Moses and I will chase him. The next time you see Moses with anything to do much, it's usually on the mountain. One day the Lord called him up. He's old, 120 years old. Called him up on the top of Mount Nebo, dispatched a bunch of angels from glory, and they laid that old gentleman to rest. They don't even know where his grave is after the day. But one day, the Lord took his disciples up on some mountain. You don't ever get too old for mountain, are you? Took him up on that mountain. When he got up there, he started praying. And as he prayed, his clothes began to change. They began to glow. And as they did, something went out into the underworld and said, come here, Moses. God's got another mountain for you, boy. Moses, I don't know if I can stand another one. He said, come on. Come on. When those disciples looked up, they saw Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Someday, Moses and all of us are going to get together on another big mountain. John says, and he carried me away into a great mountain. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Transcending the bounds of the earth. Glory to God. That powerful spirit someday is going to lift the church. Hallelujah.
What an experience.
Oh, willing to break out of the ordinary? Another day's journey? Just to see God work? Just to see His miracle? Am I willing to do anything in order to see the will of God performed? Hallelujah. You know, in spite of all the shout, in spite of all this that I feel tonight, I've got to come back and tell you, you that need the Holy Ghost tonight, it's right there. You feel it, something in you. Break it. Bubbling! It wants you to move just a little bit farther. No, I don't think you can get any closer to the front of the church. But there is a place. And that Holy Ghost presence is right there. And wherever it is for you, I would that God tonight that you'd be willing to break every band to get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you love that spirit, church? God's letting you know tonight that He's got the power. But we've got to be willing to walk out just a little bit out of the ordinary, a little bit out of the normal. Praise God. Oh, I could go through the form. I could tell you to do this or that or something else. It may not work. But if you're willing tonight to do something of your own accord because you feel something in your heart, because you feel the glory of God talking to your soul, if you're willing to do that, I believe that tonight God is able to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And while I'm preaching to those of you who need the Holy Ghost, don't let me forget those of you who need to be ministered to tonight. You've got the Spirit all right, but it never has really taken control of your life. You need to walk just a little bit farther tonight and get sold on this experience and let God move in your life.